How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast, live edition. The Lakers just finished whooping on the Sacramento Kings. It was ugly in the first half. We'll go ahead and say that. The Lakers ended the first half down by double digits. They wind up winning impressively against the Sacramento Kings. I am Anthony Irwin. Harrison is not here tonight. He was actually at the game, so he's going to have a couple reports coming from the game. But before we get to any of that stuff, let's just make sure everybody knows where to find the show. This is obviously a live video right now, but we are going to download and then upload this to our podcast network. And you can find these shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is actually brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you guys are using the promo code LOLAKERS to get your $20 redeemable rebate after you make your purchase on SeatGeek. It's just a really easy way to buy tickets. Make sure you guys are using it. You don't have to print anything out. There's the SeatGeek Raider, all that stuff, or the Ticket Raider, all that stuff. But honestly, let's just go ahead and jump into the game. I have a few notes here that I wrote down. I probably should have pulled up the final scores. So while I talk, I'm going to go ahead and try to do that. Don't mind me, everybody. This is completely and perfectly professional. Don't mind me. Nobody has shown up here yet, so we are perfectly good. All right, so the final from today's show was 103-84. The Lakers, who were at one point down 19, finished the game up 19. And you know what? There were stumbles early. The second unit came in, led by Tarik Black, who is my first note of the game is regarding Tarik Black. And look, it was hilarious all last season when we were told that he wasn't playing with enough energy. Right, and we saw it tonight. He completely changed the game. He comes in. There was the one sequence where he blocked somebody on the defensive end. They ran down there in trenches, and somebody missed I think it was like a floater kind of in between shot. He grabbed the rebound, and then he finished on the offensive board, and then just really set a tone for what the Lakers need. On both sides, just great athleticism, ability to roll to the basket, ability to keep up with people while they get out and run in transition. And it was great to watch that from Tarik Black, who over the last couple of years, I mean, he was great. He was a big part of why Jordan Clarkson was really good a few years ago, crazily enough. He was also a big reason as to why D'Angelo Russell started playing a lot more efficiently last season. And then now here he is again showing out in another limited role kind of situation. And he did all the stuff that you would want to see your backup center be able to do. And honestly, I mean, we aren't going to read too much into the very first game, the very first preseason game. even. But as the year goes on, and as the Lakers kind of fall further and further out of the playoff picture, although if you pay attention to my Twitter feed, I'd said the Lakers are going to go 82-0, so we'll see how many people buy into that. But as the Lakers kind of fall out of contention, and Mozgov is asked to kind of take, you know, hey, let's ease Tarik Black into a larger role. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Tarik Black get a couple starts there as the, you know, after the All-Star break and as the rest of the conference kind of pulls away from the Lakers. And again, when I say that, that isn't me being negative about this Laker team. Tonight was a lot of fun. But what I am saying is that, you know, the Clippers or the Warriors tonight stomped on the Clippers to a 50 piece, I believe. Last I saw that. So, to get to the first point I was going to make, Tarik Black looked really good, and this is something that we should have become accustomed to by now, but the really, really good coach who was in charge of the last couple seasons refused to play Tarik Black, and we didn't get to see what he really offered. And tonight we really got a full-on taste of that. And I think as the year goes along, we'll get an even better taste of that. So congratulations to Tarik on showing out tonight. My favorite tweet of the night, and I'm biased because Harrison and I came up with the game, but Lakers Outsiders sent a tweet tonight basically saying that Tarik's entire effort tonight was one giant 50 shades of shade to that last coach. I can't disagree. So let's go ahead and move on.
But before we move on, let's go ahead and talk really quickly about SeatGeek. They are presenting tonight's show. The Lakers just finished playing, and I would hope that everybody who watched tonight's game, if you did so from home, that's great, you know, and the opportunity to watch from the comfort of your home is great and all that. But for right now, this is a somewhat unique opportunity to buy in basically from the ground floor of an entire franchise, especially a Lakers franchise, where you can get to go and watch these kids grow. You know, you can look back years from now and say, hey, remember that one time we sat really, really close to watch the Lakers play back in preseason before we knew who D'Angelo Russell or Brandon Ingram truly might be? And SeatGeek is sitting here to present you with that opportunity. Make sure you're going on SeatGeek. If you're using the app, great. If you're going to use the SeatGeek.com website, that's also great. They have their deal score that tells you how great a deal you're actually getting. They have price notifications to let you know when that price falls into a spot that you're hoping that it might. Their site and their app are both really easy to use. And for me personally, what's great about it is I don't have to print anything out. If I'm going to buy tickets right now, and I'm looking right now on SeatGeek.com at tickets for the upcoming on Friday, they play at Staples Center again. The Lakers play again at Staples Center. I'm looking at the tickets right now. I can buy those tickets. I don't have to print anything out. I present my barcode there to the people there at Staples Center. I walk right in. I have my $20 promo code if you're using LO Lakers. Again, that is LO Lakers. And there you are. You're in the stadium, and you've used a great product, a great application. So make sure you're using SeatGeek to buy your tickets, not only for Lakers stuff. You have Dodgers playoff games coming up. You have Rams games to go to. It doesn't even have to just be about sports. It could be music. It could be, you know, the theater, the arts, whatever it might be. Comedy, all of those good things. SeatGeek is here to help you out, and we are here to help you and SeatGeek out. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers. Now let's get back to the show.
Before we get to some questions, I see Matthew Holmes already has one question that I guarantee you, I promise I'm going to get to here in a second. Before I get to that, though, the other player I was really impressed with was Jose Calderon tonight. He is fighting for backup minutes with Marcelo Huertas. behind D'Angelo Russell as the backup point guard. And I mean, I don't think it was close. Anybody who was watching tonight saw that Calderon was the better of the two players. And, you know, you kind of think, well, you know, maybe Huerta's in his second year. The Lakers have their eye towards the future. But no, that's not really what's going on there. Jose Calderon is only 1 year older, I believe, than Marcelo Huertas. So it's literally, I mean, it's pretty close to even footing between those two guys. And as it stands right now, if we were just basing what we think or how we think the rotation should play out based on tonight, and nobody should really do that. It's just the very first preseason game. But as of right now, Jose Calderon looks like the better player, and he's a better fit. I mean, he's a better shooter offensively. He spaces the floor. He forces the defense to remain honest, where Marcelo, when he has the ball, and I like Marcelo Huertas. I think he makes great decisions with the basketball. There is no real difference between him and Jose Calderon. So as it stands right now, I just don't see a real purpose in trying to find differentiating factors anywhere else on the basketball court from what we've seen. So as the preseason goes along, and if we see more of what we saw tonight, Jose Calderon is probably the better player. I mean, there's a reason Jose Calderon has been in the NBA for as long as he has and has played such significant roles as he has over the course of his NBA career. And, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to continue to see that as the year goes on, and especially if the preseason continues the way it did tonight. Now, all this could be for naught, and Marcelo Huertas could come out on Friday and ball out again. Until that happens, I think I really do prefer Jose Calderon over Huertas. And that was a conversation that we had as we were previewing the Lakers' point guard position, you know, rotation, and as that's going on. And yeah, I mean, just one guy's a better player as of right now in his career. And the hope is that you get as many good players as you can as the season wears along. All right, so the question that I saw earlier tonight, I'm going to scroll back up to it. Matthew Holmes asked, what did you think of Luke throwing a curveball and starting Lou over JC? I wasn't thrilled. It wasn't... You know, when we found out after the fact that, or as the starting rotation was announced for tonight, or not announced as the week wore along, you kind of think, hey, maybe we might see the kind of curveball that gets everybody excited. And then when, you know, Lou Williams was announced and veteran leadership was cited as the reason for the move, I mean, I don't know about everybody else out there, but I kind of went right back into, oh my God, this is, no, please, no, we can't have more of this. Please don't say this isn't so, Luke. And, I mean, what kind of, my response and the reason for that wasn't just because of what we've gone through over the last couple of years, but my question was, what kind of veteran leadership do you really need in the very first preseason game? I just don't know if Lou Williams really fits with the starting rotation, because the vast majority of Lou Williams' scoring opportunities tend to come off of the dribble. And when you have guys like D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle already needing the basketball as much as they do to be successful, adding Lou Williams into that equation where he is going to need the basketball for I wouldn't say significant amount of times, but he needs more than just a catch and shoot kind of situation to be successful. It just doesn't make very much sense for him to be in the starting rotation. And then you see Jordan Clarkson come in there, and Clarkson was very, whatever the opposite of gun shy would be. He was ready to catch and shoot today. And I couldn't help but feel like that was kind of a message back at the coaching staff, like, no, man, like, I'm the starting shooting guard. I'm going to be the starting shooting guard until we actually get a better player than me. And I think consistently throughout the game, I was the most impressed with Jordan Clarkson. especially defensively, which I'll talk about here in a second. But just overall, Clarkson just fits better with that first group, and much of the same logic can be used with Clarkson as I use when I say Larry Nance Jr. is a better fit for that starting group than Julius Randle is. I was not impressed, and very many people, or very few people that I was actually, that I was paying attention to on Twitter today, were very impressed with what Julius Randle brought to the table today. He kind of sort of needed to show out, or if he wasn't going to show out, he had to hope that Larry Nance Jr. didn't, and Nance kind of sort of did. So we'll see how that rotation plays out. Again, we're only one game in, but as the preseason wears along or rolls along, expect Lou Williams to head back to the bench where he's a former sixth man of the year. He's more comfortable there. Let's not reinvent the wheel there in regards to what's going to work for him. And then also, don't be shocked if Larry Nance Jr. starts getting some more minutes with that starting group, because the fit just happens to be there. I'm trying to get through my notes as quickly as I possibly can to answer as many of your questions as I possibly can. I wanted to talk really, really quickly about the defense, and it's only the very first game, but Luke Walton said after the game that the difference in the first and second half was the defensive, effort. I don't know if it's so much effort, it's just efficiency. I was really happy to see at one point in the game, I think it was Marcelo Huertas, there was like a pinch post situation in which I want to say Jordan Clarkson was guarding one of the Kings off guards in the post. And in prior years, you would think, Huertas would go down and trap and the Lakers would give up a wide open three-pointer, usually in the corner. But Huertas literally ran away from the play down there in the post. They had to force up some ugly shot. The Lakers got the rebound, got their stop, and then headed back down to the other end of the court. And I was really happy to see that. And after having gone through much of last year and seeing the terrible habits that were formed over the course of last year, it was nice to see that kind of stuff happen. And then I talked about Jordan Clarkson a second ago. His defense, again, stood out to me. His feet were a lot more quiet. He was a lot more efficient with his movement. His defensive stance was consistently better throughout the game. And it showed itself. I mean, especially in the second half where the Kings had incredible issues trying to score. They were having troubles getting the ball up on the rim, let alone score. So it was nice to see that today. The fundamentals on the defensive half looked a lot better. Now, the Lakers weren't going up against, the Golden State Warriors. So the caveat is that the Kings just stink. And that might very well show itself to be over the course of their season. But for what we saw tonight, it was nice that some of those fundamentals that we didn't see last year were very obviously tweaked tonight. And one would think that's only going to continue to get better. As this team gets more used to what Luke Walton is expecting to see from them consistently on that end of the ball. All right, last one, and this is actually a question that I got on Twitter. Where is it? Sorry, pardon the double chin. At List 10 asks, why do you think everyone today played except Nick Young? And, man, I was surprised to see that. Usually when everybody plays except for one player, that's either the coach or the organization sending a message to that guy like, hey, you have a huge hill to climb if you want to roll on this team, if you want to make this team, if you really think that you can stick around. And tonight, Nick being the only guy who didn't get in the game. I mean, like Travis Ware came in, Travis Ware is a really good basketball player. He had a nice career at UCLA. He's a semi-local kid. He played at Mater Dei. I like Travis, from what I've seen from him in the NBA. But he's not going to make this team. And he came in and he got minutes and he made a three. And, you know, you go on down the line, going down the roster of everybody who got minutes, and Nick is the only guy left kind of hanging. And that kind of leads you to wonder, after all of the media tour that the Lakers kind of tried to give to Young, if they're kind of realizing, look, there's just not many minutes for this guy. There's no point in keeping him around for the opportunity to be a distraction. So why not, you know, kind of cut ties while they can. So that's something to keep an eye on. And again, I hate to come back to the same caveat, to the same, you know, counter to the points I'm already making right now. Next game, if Nick Young comes in and plays, you guys are more than welcome to say, "Hey, Anthony, you are being a moron." Nick Young came in and scored whatever 10 points in 5 minutes or something like that. And all right, then it's time to rethink the rethinking. But as of right now, if I'm Nick Young, that's not the kind of thing that I want to see take place, because he's fighting for a roster spot on a really crowded roster. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into a few more of your questions. Nathan Altick said, "Nice to see Anthony Brown connecting on his shot." I completely agree. I was legitimately happy to see Anthony Brown make his shots. He's a good guy. He offers a lot on the defensive side of the ball. And if he can just make shots consistently, a 3-and-D guy is somebody that every team needs as they build moving forward. So if he can provide, or if he can step into that role, then that means the Lakers are that much better. And again, Anthony Brown just being a good dude, you just can't help but pull for the guy. So it was great to see Anthony Brown go out there and make his shots. I think he went 4-for-4 tonight or something like that. It was really cool to see that, Nathan. And then he said, "Hope D-Loading gets his turnovers down and gets his shot going again." D'Angelo Russell looked to me tonight like somebody who was trying to do too many things. Not necessarily statistically speaking, but you could kind of see, you know, as the set's going on, you could kind of see him, you know, turn the corner on a pick and roll and, you know, think, all right, the set calls for this. Here's my, you know, more natural read. Here's how I could get my own shot. And he has all these thoughts going on in his head, and it's kind of paralysis by analysis. So as he gets more accustomed to running the point guard position for Luke Walton, I think we will continue to see him improve. It's tough. I mean, it just think about, I mean, the point guard is basically the quarterback on the court. So just think about being the quarterback and having to deal with a brand new offense and have the expectations of an entire franchise on your shoulders. I can't see very, you know, there aren't very many quarterbacks who handle that very well, although we are watching that occur with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia and Sam Bradford occur, you know, doing the same thing in Minnesota. But, you know, from the point guard position, when the point guard on this team is going to have the ball as often as he's going to have it, it's going to take, there are going to be some growing pains, and I thought we saw some of that tonight. But I also thought we saw some good things from D'Angelo Russell tonight. I like his composure in the paint, especially. He gets in there, and he never looks like he's rushing himself, and that's a great place to build from, at least to start. Next question that I have... "The Lakers make the playoffs after first wins in preseason games?" I mean, yeah. After watching the game that they played tonight, I don't see how they're possibly going to lose a game all season, to be completely honest. All right, next one. "If Calderon can probe like Huertas, does he have the minutes he can shoot easy? If Calderon can probe like Huertas..." Basically, what I was talking about earlier. Calderon looks like a better player than Huertas, just overall, especially offensively, when you take into account the shooting ability. Just as of right now, Calderon has the lead in the in what we're looking for from that position. Let's see. Kupchak announcing Zubats will be very limited this year. Is that too premature from Joji Navarro? No, it's not too premature. I would say the opposite, where anybody expecting anything from Ivica Zubac is doing so too prematurely. He's silly putty out there. You know, he's exciting and he's a fan favorite and he's all of those things, but I don't think he's physically ready to go out there and play, especially at the type of pace that the NBA tends to play at right now. It's not going to work out for Zubac early on. And as the year wears on, and that was Harrison being annoying, but as the year wears on and as more minutes open up, sure, Zubac can step in and play, but expecting anything from Zubac early on just doesn't make very much sense. Adrian Huerta asks if Tarik Black is going to be the backup center. Yep, answered that. Francis John, what do I think of Brandon Ingram's performance tonight? Only 2 points from a top pick guy. look, guys, if we're going to compile counting stats in the very first preseason game of somebody's NBA career, I mean, let's go back and look at Kobe's career, first preseason games and stuff like that. See how that turned out. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I think he showed some things out there on the court tonight, especially defensively when he was really focused and tuned in, that he really showed himself to be, you know, the kind of guy who can affect games on that side of the court. And then the offensive stuff that's going to take a while, man. The NBA rate of play is, I would say at least twice as fast as what you see in college. And that's from watching the game, let alone getting down there and actually playing in that kind of pace of play. Let's give the kid a few more games under his belt before we start freaking out about counting stats like points. And I'm not trying to be condescending, Francis, but let's just it's going to take some patience with that guy. Joel Gonzalez, couldn't see the game. How'd the guards look? They look good. Philip Florendo said 98-0. Sure thing. I completely agree. Mark Klingsporn says, suits and ties if you're going to step to the big league, at least purple and gold. Look, man, I am not going to tie a tie to be on Facebook Live. Sorry there, Mark. I can tie a tie, and I wore a tie for a good portion of my life working for Men's Warehouse, and that is not something I'm interested in. All right, so that about does it for the questions here. Most of the questions that I've answered or that you're asking right now, I've answered early on in the podcast. Make sure you guys are following along on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Today's Fast Break. You can find all of our shows there. Today's audio is going to actually be taken down but downloaded from Facebook, then uploaded again back onto Audioboom and the rest of our RSS feeds for Locked On Lakers. So make sure you guys check that out. Make sure you guys, again, are using LO Lakers as your promo code on SeatGeek. Here in a second, I'm actually going to call Harrison to get his thoughts from Honda Center tonight. All right, everybody. So as promised, I'm here with Harrison Fagan, who was there at the Honda Center tonight. He was there in Anaheim. It looked like he had some pretty damn good seats there, Harrison. Were you there courtside?
I was courtside. I was below the basket that the Lakers were shooting on in the second half. And, yeah, it was definitely the best seats I've ever had to a professional basketball game. I'll say that. I don't even sit that close when I'm with the defenders.
We're calling that a professional basketball game.
Well, I mean, I think players get paid for preseason, so I think technically it would count as professional.
All right. Well,
but yeah, that was not, we'll just say the first half was not the most scintillating basketball game ever played. We'll go there.
I think that's fair.
And then the second half, I'm not sure that the Kings were paying all of those guys to play professional basketball. So,
all right. So, I already talked with the fans there on Facebook, with the Laker fans, not our fans. I want to make sure that that's always clear, that they are Laker fans, not ours. But I spoke about Tarik Black, and it looked to me like he was, I mean, is it fair to call him the preseason favorite to be the MVP?
I think so. I mean, I didn't get a chance to look at who broke out for the Warriors during their game against the Clippers. Or, you know, I don't know if you would even call that a game. That was just a massacre, it looked like, but which we were laughing about on Media Row. So people will, I think, like that. But, yeah, I mean, as far as Lakers MVP, I think you got to go with Tark right now. I think he ended it with 15 points, I believe, right? And it was pretty much just all Tarek things. And I saw you tweet during the game, one of the few tweets I caught with the kind of in-and-out Wi-Fi, but that was a guy that was actually criticized last year for playing without energy. And, you know, none of us could believe it at the time, and Tarek showed why tonight.
It was funny to me that how quickly that became a thing. Like, it's pretty rare that just a purely textual, you know, a tweet that's just text kind of takes off a little bit. And tonight, that's kind of what happened with that Tarek Black thing, was people just couldn't believe that was actual analysis from the head coach of a NBA team like we saw last year. But you spoke to me. We spoke really briefly on the phone before we jumped on this call.
I just want to tell people the audio quality right now. I am calling in from my car because on game night, my commute back home is really the only time I have to talk. So I apologize if the audio quality is poor for this segment, but hopefully you guys can enjoy it anyway. But go ahead.
Well, you were, I don't know, for lack of a better term, impressed with Luke Walton's comments regarding Lou Williams' defense during the game.
Yeah.
And it stands in stark contrast to what we saw last season. Now, I was recording, you know, while all these quotes were kind of coming down the pipe. So why don't you can paraphrase, because I don't want you to actually find this stuff. But I was, if what you're saying is actually true, then yeah, Luke deserves praise for calling a veteran out for not being good on defense.
Yeah. I just thought that was something, and not that, like, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, that I love it when coaches call guys out. It's like, I'm like, yes, I really wanted to see Lou Williams get called out. It's not like that. I just thought that it was very interesting to hear it. When I asked Luke about what he saw from Lou Williams, I just asked him what he saw from Lou Williams. And he freely gave an answer where he said the results were mixed. He talked about that his offense was good, that Lou kind of kept them in the game there while they were struggling offensively in the first half, and how much of that is due to Lou Williams' isolation. You know, it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Did his isolation help the offense because it was stagnant, or did his isolation make the offense stagnant? I'd say it's probably a little bit of both, but either way, he praised him for that, and Lou was, you know, he was good at drawing free throws in the first half, even got at drawing free throws. But the thing that I thought was interesting was that Luke, without being asked about Lou Williams' defense, mentioned that it was kind of an issue for them, and it was something that they'd have to look at tape, and it was something that they'd have to talk about. And that's not something that we ever heard last year about a veteran, ever. And it's a different world when that kind of stuff is getting brought up after a preseason game about a veteran. And it just shows that this is going to be the type of culture where everyone's going to get held accountable equally. Lou Williams was not the only guy that he said wasn't great defensively. He knows that the whole team had issues. But I just thought that it was interesting that he was willing to admit that not every single veteran on his roster is a perfect pinnacle of how to play professional basketball.
My thing was, like, it was already kind of eye-opening that Lou would start the game, you know, period tonight.
Yeah.
And with the prior administration, with the prior coach, the stuff that would kind of go on there was that he would kind of be defensive about the call after the fact. Look, Lou starting tonight looks like a mistake now with hindsight as our benefit. And instead of kind of saying, well, you know, and trying to jump through the hoops or to dive through the hoops that don't make him look as dumb as he would have by starting Lou. And I'm not saying Luke starting Lou Williams was dumb, but it's really, you know, refreshing to see Luke kind of say, you know what? Clarkson came out there. You know, he didn't say
it. It didn't really work.
Right. It didn't work. And he took the onus for that. That's not something that level of accountability was not something that we would have seen last season.
Yeah, it's definitely that part of it's refreshing. And I think as far as post game stuff, unless you had something more to say on Lou and Anthony.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So I think the other thing post game that kind of stuck out to me, or I guess during the game, was Larry Nance Jr. and Tarik Black combining for a very athletic front court, and both of them definitely realized that. I talked to both of them after the game, and Larry was definitely, like, he just said, you know, we're a pair, we can both switch 1 through 5, and that allows us to get deflections, get stops, and get out and run. And, I mean, that's about as concisely as you can describe what those two did in that second half. And, again, the caveat there that lineup that played for the Kings in the second half, for the most part, was a glorified D-League team. But the Lakers were able to have some success with those two guys, and it looked like repeatable stuff. It was, you know, Larry Nance Jr. and Tarik Black, they are athletic. They can get in guys' ways, and there's not a weakness that if you're going to try, and a lot of the times if you're an offense, what you want to do is isolate the weakest big in the pick and roll. And when Larry and Tarik are out there, you can't really do that because both of those guys can switch on the guards for a little bit and at least passively defend them. And I thought that it was funny that, you know, they played pretty well offensively as well. And I thought that it was funny that Tarik, when asked to describe what he and Larry bring to the table offensively, just said, we give teams problems, man.
Yeah, no,
they don't want any problems.
you don't want
that's
these
not
problems.
A verbatim quote, but it was pretty much along those lines. He just said, like, they don't want those problems, and he alluding to the lob threat. And nobody wants to get dunked on, and you know, some people got dunked on tonight. But yeah, I think that I really like that bench. For all the talk that we've had this summer about how Larry might fit well with the starters, he fits pretty well with the bench, too. Larry just fits. I think Larry's one of those players. You can plug him in to a lot of lineups.
But that's kind of what I'm – and look, I'm not going to read too deeply into one single game here. We are one preseason game into this, and this was always going to happen.
Yeah, I get
But you know, I look at Larry Nance Jr. and I look at Julius Randle and I look at what those guys can do on the court tonight, and man, it's really hard for me to find things that Julius Randle does that Larry Nance Jr. doesn't at least do as well, if not better, than Randle.
Well, tonight you would be very hard pressed to find anything Randle did better than Larry Nance Jr., and I think Randle would admit that. I mean, as far as going forward, again, it's like you said, we can't make too much of one game, so who knows? I don't think that they're going to just yank Randle out of the starting lineup or anything right away. But yeah, I mean, eventually, if Larry continues to play this well and Randle looks like he did tonight with the starters, then there are going to be changes there. And I think that goes back to the culture of accountability. And I don't think that Luke, you know, I don't know that he'll wait a long time to change if he feels like it's what's best for the team.
Yeah, I agree. And him calling out, and that's for lack of a better term, but him, I think the term that you used when we were talking on the phone before we jumped on here was admonishing Lou's defense. Him doing that sends kind of a pretty obvious note to the rest of the team, like, hey guys, I'm not gonna stand, like, if there's something that I, you know, if there's something that I have to say that benefits the rest of the team, I'm going to say it. If there's a move that I have to make that's going to benefit the rest of the team, I'm going to make it. And while Randle was obviously drafted much higher than Larry Nance Jr. was, if Luke really feels like Nance is the better fit there, and again, we're only one game in, so I'm going to leave that.
It's a one preseason game.
Right. I'm going to leave that as a caveat to myself. But if Luke really honestly sees, if he goes back to the tape tonight and really sees that there's a noticeable difference between what one guy brings to the table over the other guy in terms of fit with that starting rotation, then I'm hard-pressed not to predict that Luke isn't going to make that call. And that's part of the great thing of what Luke brings to the table. He has the freedom to do so, not just from the front office, but from his own biases that don't exist when it comes to the veterans and draft status and rookies. None of that really matters with Luke. It's just about what's best for the team.
Yeah, I would agree. That's kind of that's the sense that I get as well. And again, we don't want to have any overreaction to one preseason game, but I agree with you 100%.
All right, so before I let you go here, one of the questions that I got from Twitter, and it was from Atlas10, asked about, you know, what should we read into, or if there's anything that we should read into Nick Young being the only guy that doesn't get any minutes. Now, you and I are both on the record of saying,
I don't think he was the only. Did August get in the last 30 seconds?
I don't know. I went down and caught part of the game at La Barca, our favorite lunch spot.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, that was an unpaid shout out.
Well, as of yet, but on the way back up, I didn't hear anybody talking about Zach August. So, I mean, if I have those stats wrong, or if Luce 10 has those stats wrong, but still, if it is Nick Young and Zach August as the only guys who didn't get minutes, that's probably not a great sign for either guy.
Well, I'd say that my rebuttal to that would be that there are 20 guys on the roster and you can't play 20 guys in a 48-minute game, realistically. Mm-hmm. So that would be my counter to that. So I think somebody had to sit out, but I definitely don't. I mean, I don't think that Nick Young's a priority. I don't think that him getting minutes is a priority. I think that they're taking it, you know, they're taking it as it goes with him. And if he is dominating in practices or something, then yeah, they're going to throw him out there and give him a little bit more minutes. But for right now, I don't see why getting him out there a whole lot would be their priority.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I read the situation. I basically said that if Young, I was operating under the assumption that Young was the only guy. I didn't really even think of August, which again kind of goes back to the overall message here.
I think 17 guys played tonight. So there's one more. Did Weir get in?
Yeah, Weir got in.
Weir got in.
It's Weir. Yeah. It's Travis Weir.
Okay, Weir. I'm sorry.
Where's Tom to step in and be like, no, it's fear. No. I would say if the only guys who aren't getting in are August and Nick Young, if that's any kind of statement about Young standing within this rotation, and like you're talking about, it's just not that big a priority to get that guy in, then
yeah.
What? You know, no matter the PR stuff that might have happened before the season, it might honestly just come down to a numbers game. Thomas Robinson was impressive out there. I liked what I saw from Robinson.
Yeah, so did I. And he's been impressing in camp. We've seen him at the top, near the top of those winners boards whenever a picture has been sent out of them. He's been winning a lot of drills in camp because they're keeping track of all those. Mm-hmm. And so I think he could be making a case. I still, at this point, I went from assuming that Young was gone to now I'm assuming he will be there until he gets cut. But yeah, I mean, he definitely didn't seem to be a priority tonight, I think, to say the least. And we'll see if he gets some more minutes on Friday.
Yeah, this is one set swaggy roller coaster.
For what it's worth, on the bench, he seemed to have a really good attitude. He was joking around with guys. He seemed to be kind of talking to the guys that weren't really getting in the game yet and getting them to laugh a little bit. So he, Nick Young, positive veteran mentor, isn't totally out the window.
Right. No. Uncle P. All right, Harrison. Well, yeah. I'll let you get to it sounds like you got to where you got home and stuff. So I'm happy to hear that you got home safely. Transcribe your stuff.
That's going to be the running gag of these segments is like, if I start spewing a hot take, or if I accidentally get fined, will I get angry enough that I accidentally, you know?
Just don't hurt yourself. All right.
Yeah, I'll do my best. This segment is brought to you by, please everyone get auto insurance, because I am on the road.
Yeah, this is brought to you by Geico. All right. Yeah. This has been Locked On Lakers. Make sure you guys are finding the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher. Tune in today's Fast Break. Today's show, the very first show analyzing Lakers basketball again in months, was brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers, and, you know, to get your $20 if you're using it on preseason, because I would imagine after looking at Honda Center tonight, there are some pretty good deals out there. You can get cheap seats.
There are some open seats for sure.
Yeah, you can get cheap seats to these Lakers preseason games, and have, you know, this redeemable promo code to get your $20 after the fact, so that you could you know, enjoy yourself a little bit while you're there. After that,
yeah, you can get a Zubac chant. You can get a Zubac chant going. You can Brandon Ingram got some MVP chants while he was at the free throw line for his first point. So, you know, preseason Lakers is almost as lit, not quite as lit as summer league Lakers, but it's up there.
Absolutely. All right. So this was fun. Harrison, on a scale of one to Zubac's first trip to In-N-Out, how happy were you to just be able to watch the Lakers play again tonight?
It was pretty great to get to be back. Like, the NBA is officially, even though that was barely basketball at times, you know, it's back. We made it through. I think that's just the biggest thing. And we have actual things to talk about. And also, you know, yeah, we're back.
We're back. All right, so for everybody here at Locked On Lakers and at Silver Screen and Roll, thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. We will talk to you again tomorrow as we prepare you again for Friday's game and get a few more quotes as we get more reaction to tonight's game as they come out. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Mike Pemberthy.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.